to me through a personal study of mine. And like many of you, I've read through the Bible. And it never fails, each time that I go through it, God illuminates something new. Something just jumps out that I know I've read, but for some reason it sets differently in my spirit. And this particular book was Judges. And you know, you read through Judges, and I always kind of do my own self-study in history about the book, you know, before I go into it. Now, Judges, the book of Judges is interesting in that, well, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the Bible, God's chosen people, they're faithful to him, and then they fall away. And then they become oppressed, and then he saves them out of their oppression, and they have a time of peace, and then they go right back into that cycle again. So Judges talks about specifically after the death of Joshua, it points out that Israel didn't have a king at the time. And they were basically leading themselves. They knew God's order for their life, but at times they were choosing to do what they wanted to do. So he put judges there to help them out of their mess, because they would fall into idolatry and all the things. And he would put judges there for a period of time for them, and it would pull them out of their oppression. It would give them a time of peace, and they would go back into it again. Well, the particular judge that we're going to talk about today is Samson. He was one of the judges that God appointed. He was chosen to be a Nazirite from birth. He instructed his parents that, I don't know if you're familiar with what a Nazirite is. I believe it's Numbers chapter 6 talks about what a Nazirite was at that time. A man or a woman could choose to dedicate their lives to the Lord. They could choose to separate themselves and dedicate their lives to service to God. It wasn't something that was meant to be permanent. It was a time that they chose to do it. And there were basically three things that the outside, people outside could see that they did that would make them know that they were a Nazirite at the time. They didn't cut their hair. They didn't drink any wine or any strong drink. And they didn't come in contact with the dead. So by those three things, outwardly, people would know that they were consecrating their lives and dedicating their lives to God during that time. The difference with Samson was God said that he would be a Nazirite from his birth to his death. Samson was one of the last judges, and God chose him to be a Nazirite, consecrated to him from his life to his death. I'm going to start in Judges chapter 13, verse 5. It says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Speaking, God is speaking to Samson's mother. "And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazirite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So he was chosen for a purpose. He was chosen to be set aside for the Lord for service. And his charge was to deliver the people of Israel from the Philistines. Now, some may argue that we're not chosen from birth. But I believe that we are. Because God said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so for that reason, when we're born, yes, we're born into sin, but God's heart is for all of us to be chosen by him, to separate our lives to him, to dedicate and consecrate our lives to him. So we may not have the title of Nazirite, but we are Nazirites in a sense, because we're supposed to be consecrating our life to the Lord. So if you don't think that from birth that was your calling, if you're a Christian now and you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're born again. So even if not at your natural birth, at your rebirth, you are to be consecrated unto God. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Samson's life showed us, our lives, my life, your life, shows us that just because you're called does not mean you're consecrated. That consecration, that dedication to God, that separation, that's a choice. So at your rebirth, when you were born again, at Samson's birth, from the time he was born, he was consecrated. He was supposed to be separated to God, dedicated to God's will for his life. But we know what happened with Samson. He took his own path. He allowed his lust for his, that his eyes saw, the things that he wanted, the things that he desired, to rule him. His parents tried to talk him, you know, point him back to the things God wanted him to do, but he did his own thing. He knew that he was blessed with unmatched strength at the time. So he walked in pride at times. We may not have the strength of Samson, but God has given us strength through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell in us when we accept Christ as our Savior. And we don't walk this walk on our own strength. We walk it in him and in his strength. But just like Samson, we go our own way. We do our own thing. We follow our own will. But there are consequences to being called to be set apart and then choosing to go your own way. Although he was set apart, he lived undisciplined. And he did not follow the way of a Nazarite in the way that God wanted him to. You see, when we're called, but we don't choose to be consecrated, it leads to us compromising our relationship with the Lord. And that's outside of God's will for our life. Just like Samson, we as believers face those same challenges. So what happens when we're doing what is right in our own eyes? What does it lead to? In Judges chapter 16, verses 20 and 21, it says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson," speaking about Delilah. "And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house." He didn't even know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. You know, he had been attacked and taken and bound by Philistines previously, and he was just able to shake them off. God gave him that power to do that. And see, this didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual thing. And sin is always like that. It's a gradual thing. It first blinds you. And then it binds you. And then it causes you to cling to it in a way where when you want to let it go, you can't. The purpose of the enemy, the sole purpose, still kill and destroy us, destroy our souls. But just like with Samson, he took something that he knew Samson wanted to distract him from God's will for his life. And we do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. It's something that we desire to feed our flesh, to feed our desires. You know, desire for money, desire for things, desire for relationships, you know, harmful substances that we put in our bodies. These are all things that we do because they're things that we want. But that's not God's will for our life. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Kind of reminds me of that scripture in John where it says that they love darkness rather than light. And we're no different. we're saved, thank God, and we're doing what we know to do for the most part, but for some reason, we don't give God full control. We don't fully surrender everything to him. There's these little things, or maybe even big things, that we continue to hold on to. But if you know that you're called, then you know that you're supposed to be consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. And your will and what you want needs to go to the side. And we need to totally and fully depend on him to lead and guide us in our efforts and in our everyday life, the decisions that we make. And again, when you don't, there's consequences. What stood out to me in that part of the scriptures when they caught Samson, and at the end, you know, they brought him out to, you know, as sport, they mocked God. You know, this man is supposed to be a man of God, and look, he's bound and blind, and his strength is gone from him. And, you know, for the first time, I thought about reading that scripture, how if you are saved and you've professed that to family and friends, and then they see your life, and it doesn't reflect Jesus, you put yourself in the same position that Samson did, and you cause people to mock God and to make light of him as if he doesn't exist. And so they see no need for him, because you claim to be a Christian. I claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but my life does not show that. I'm not living that. The words that come from my mouth, the places I go, the things that I do, the things I involve myself in don't show me to be a Christian. And I believe we have a responsibility to the world around us to be a light, to be consecrated and dedicated to God so that others see him in us. So just know that the people, the Philistines that captured Samson, are no different from the people today when they see a person who claims to be a Christian, but they're not living that life. They mock God behind your back. They don't see a need for salvation. If they have Jesus and they're doing all the things that I'm doing, why do I need a Savior? And I think we should really think about that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." What does that mean? You're a slave to righteousness, or you're a slave to sin and death, one or the other. But you and I make that choice. But if you yield, whatever you yield yourself to and what you yield yourself to do and obey, that is what you are a slave to. So are you a slave to yourself, your flesh, sin, death, Satan? Or are you a slave to righteousness, to God, to his will for your life? There is no in between. There is no gray area. This is black and white. In Judges chapter 16, verse 28, it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." It took Samson being caught, bound, made a slave, and blinded for him to finally humble himself and return to the Lord. James 4 and 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." It took Samson's loss. He had to lose everything. before he finally chose to surrender everything. But see, it doesn't have to be like that for you and I. We don't have to wait until God brings us to our lowest point in life to decide to surrender it all to him. See, Satan wants us to feel comfortable and complacent in doing what we want to do, thinking that nothing is going to happen to us, that we can continue to walk our way and do our thing, feed our flesh and our fleshly desires, and nothing's happened yet, so it won't happen, just like with Samson. Until he was overtaken, he didn't even realize that the Spirit of God had left him. But here in this point, when everything was taken from him, he then surrendered himself to the Lord. God often allows things to happen. I always say, God can touch your reality like no one or nothing else. And if and when he does that, you know it's him. But I don't want that. I was one of those children that tried to be a good daughter because I hated whoopings and spankings, whatever you call them. We called them whoopings. And my parents whooped us when we were out of line. And so I tried my best to do all the right things and be obedient. I wasn't a perfect child. No one is. But I tried my best because I didn't want the switch or whatever, the belt, whatever my mom could grab, she used. And I didn't want that. And to this day, my dad laughs. And they used to laugh at me. Like they said when they hit me with the belt, I would jump around like I was shouting. But that was not a pain I wanted to experience. So I tried my best to do the right thing. And it's the same thing with my relationship with the Lord. I don't want to be beat. I don't want to be corrected. I don't want to deal with the wrath of God on my life. I don't want to live like Samson. My own way, my own thing. It's his way or no way. Because God's word says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I don't know about you, but I want to live. I want to live eternally with him. In Judges chapter 16, verse 30, it says, "And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's. And upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life." That's where the title of the message came from. When I read that, I said he did more in his death than in his life. And he was chosen from birth to be consecrated unto God. But because he chose not to be consecrated unto God and he chose to go his own way, it took him dying. That's when his full surrender took place. That was an eye-opener for me. Can you imagine, even if we don't say from birth, but from the time you gave your heart to the Lord, if you at that point fully surrendered your life to God, and put away all earthly things, all sinful things. None of us did that. It was a gradual process. We're all still going through the sanctification process. But can you imagine if everything you had in you and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you just dropped it all? What God could do with your life? What God could have done with Samson's life? We accomplish so much more dying to our flesh and being alive to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Think about how many people you could have brought to the Lord. How many souls could be saved? How many miracles could have been done? Miracles didn't stop in God's word. They still happen to this day. How many demons could have been cast out? Think about it. If all of God's people fully surrendered their life to him from the time that they were reborn, from the time that they gave their heart to Christ. But instead, we step into salvation and we step back out into the world. We step out with one foot and back in again. We walk with God a little bit like the Israelites did. And then we turn back to our idols. We don't have golden calves anymore. We have cell phones and television and entertainment, sporting events. I didn't even know the Super Bowl was today, by the way. I just learned yesterday. Somebody said something about it, and I said, that's tomorrow. I like football, but I guess, I don't know, it just passed me by. But we allow all these things, these idols, to creep back into our lives. And then the bottom drops out. God comes in like he does, grace and mercy, brings us back. We're in a place of peace. And then we allow the enemy to pull us right back. But if we keep on that path, what happened to Samson is what happens to us. It eventually ends, not just in our spiritual death, but our physical death, our eternal death. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Sometimes I don't know that we realize that we're actually free. We don't walk in that freedom. We don't walk in that deliverance. We're saved, but we still walk in bondage in certain areas of our life. And I don't know what has to happen for us to truly understand that we're free. And that freedom came with a cost. Jesus gave his life for our freedom, gave up his deity and became a man for our freedom. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We talk to our children a lot about the desire to want to be grown and get out on your own. And if you're an adult now, you realize that you should have really enjoyed the freedom of being a child. Because once you become an adult, that's when real life happens. But as a child, you don't realize that. You can't wait to get out on your own. I can do what I want. I can eat what I want. I can go where I want. I don't have curfews. I don't have bedtimes. I can just do what I want to do. You don't recognize the freedom and the safety of being with your parents and having someone pay all the bills and carry the weight of the world so you don't have to. When Jesus died, he took on the weight of all of our sin so we don't have to. In his death, we all of mankind has more. In our Savior's death, and think about this, Jesus was perfect in his life. All the miracles, all the sermons, all the words of truth, the word of God that he shared with the world. We don't even know how many miracles he did. And in his perfection, he even gave us more in his death than he did in his entire life. Because his death gave us freedom from sin. His death gave us the Holy Spirit that lives in us. His death gave us peace that passes all understanding. His death gave us grace. His death gave us mercy. His death gave us forgiveness. I can go on and on. Abundant life. Power from heaven. identity now in him, righteousness of him, authority. We have authority in him. All of that because he chose to die for us. So the same way Samson gained more in his death than he did in his life, and we all gained more in Jesus' death than his life. You and I today gain more when we die to our flesh and live our life unto God, when we allow the Holy Spirit to be alive in us. Samson gained more in his death than in his life because he finally did what he could never do. He surrendered to the will of God for his life. And that is my charge for you today. Don't wait till the bottom drops out and you have no other choice but to turn to God. Do it now. You've given your life to him, and if you haven't, this is your opportunity to give your life to him and to decide that his way is better, not mine. His will is better, not mine. What are you doing right now that you believe is right in your own eyes? And maybe you don't believe it's right. Maybe you know it's wrong, but you're having selective obedience in your walk with Christ. What part of your life in this very moment needs to die so that Christ can live in you the way he desires to? I'm going to leave you with that thought and with that question. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness to us this morning. Lord, even when we fall away from you and we're not on the path that we need to be on, you remain faithful. And we thank you for that this morning. Lord, as every head is bowed and all eyes are closed, I ask that you search every heart in this room and every heart online. And through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, if there are things in our life that need to die, Lord, show us those things. Don't allow us to be comfortable in doing, in saying, or even thinking anything, God, that is not of you. Help us, Lord. We need you like never before. I believe our time is running out, and it is time for us to get on the path that you have called us to. So, Lord, just stir up our hearts, God. And if you have to bring us to our lowest, God, I don't pray that for anyone, Lord, but whatever it takes, God, call us back to you. Call us back to your word, God. Call us back to forgiveness, Lord, so that we can become the children of God that you have called us to be, so that we can fully lay down our lives, God, to you in full surrender, God, consecration to you. So that you, God, can get the glory out of our lives. So that your full will, your perfect will, God, can be carried out in all of us. And we ask it all in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. What a word. What a word. I don't know about you. Was anybody convicted by that message? I mean, that was a miracle in and of itself. The Holy Spirit speaking to each and every one of us in his own way, convicting us about the things that we're doing, the areas in our life where we need to die out and to let God just use us for his own purpose. I don't know about you, but that was a good word. It spoke to me. Amen. Amen. If you would all just stand with me. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I have a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, you know, we always need your support, so please do so. Brother Torrence Nash will be with us on February 21st. That's a Saturday. And also, he's going to do both services on Sunday. So please come out to join us for that. Again, thank you for your support with the Pakistan Orphanage. And it looks like we have some images coming up next week of them receiving the bids. So go ahead and stand with me, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we ask you right now to, we know the service is over, Lord, but just give us an opportunity to take a moment to search within ourselves. Search within ourselves and bring out again those areas in our life that are holding us back from fully serving you, Jesus. Lord, we need you, Father. We need you. Do whatever it is that you need to do to move us out the way. Do whatever it is you need us to do, Lord. If you have to break us down to our knees, because like Sister Angela said, the time is coming. The time is coming. We can feel it in the atmosphere, Lord. We can feel it in the atmosphere. Let us stop playing around with you, oh God. Let me stop playing around, Jesus. We call out to you, oh God, because we love you, Lord. We love everything that you've done for us while we were in our sin, while we were still messing up. Father, you loved us. And every time we come back, every time we fall, you pick us up with grace and mercy, Lord. You're a good, good Father. Lord, we don't deserve you, but you've given yourself to us, Lord, and help us to appreciate that and give ourselves back to you. Father, we thank you so much for everybody that's here today. I pray that the word continues to sit upon their hearts as they go about their day. Father, you're so good to us. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.